All right, we're hanging out here with Mr. Marcus Henderson, friend of the radio program in so many ways, but finally we get to capture you live.
Finally.
Now,
finally get to speak.
You're right now in Minnesota because you're gigging out with Marshall Tucker Band now.
Yes.
That's an honor and a half.
It really is. It's a huge honor to carry on with this tradition. You know, I mean, it's just gigantic.
Yeah, and now for them, you are kind of a utility guy, aren't you?
On this gig, I'm covering all the flute signature. I play the sax and all keyboards.
Ooh, man.
Yeah. If you think about it, you know, I've been on a gig a month, and it's taken me about that long to rifle through the library. I mean, this band's got almost, 33 records now, something like that. It's just, it's insane.
And you get to play one of the most infamous flute parts in any song ever.
Oh, it's huge.
Dude.
Yeah, it's big. It's the biggest flute riff next Ian Anderson, you know, Jethro Tull.
It's it's right up there with him.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. I mean, I could just start playing, you know, when I'm warming up the flute and getting ready to get a sound check into the crowd, as they're ready for the flute, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I bet they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're loved when that first note of that solo comes on. I bet you are just loved.
Oh, yeah. Well, Can't You See is a huge...
Yeah. You think, yeah, Marshall Tucker, that's what you think of.
Absolutely. And hearing about 6, 8, maybe 10,000 people singing at one time, you know, make the hairs on your arms stand straight up.
Just hearing you say that does, because I can picture it. So and the lovely crowd at that, you know, wonderful folks coming out to see Marshall Tucker, as always, I'm sure of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so far the strongest singing crowd had to be Seattle. I mean, that's like 8,000 people that could flat sing right there.
Yeah, you get yourselves to Madison, Wisconsin. We'll show you some stuff.
All right.
They'd be loved here.
You will get up there and play a little bit. I'm sure there's got to be some on the schedule for that.
I hope so. Walk me through. How does Marcus Henderson become a member of Marshall Tucker?
Well, you know, if people have asked me that, and I can tell you straight up what it is. I worked hard and I got noticed.
Thank you.
That's all there is.
Work hard.
Worked really hard for 29 years. I've drawn a check playing music for 29 years, and finally somebody said, "Come on out, let's play a little bit," you know, and that's the way it's rolled.
Well, I'm proud as hell of you.
Oh, I feel great with it. I'm the third guy to cover this book.
Yeah,
to cover the flute book for this man. It's only, you know, it was Jerry and then Jerry Eubanks and David Muse, and now I'm taking a spin at it, and you know, I love every minute of it.
And like you, how many shows have you been to so far as a member?
Maybe seven shows so far.
Okay, so were you there in Connecticut when Desi got up on stage and played with the band?
No.
Okay.
No, that was just before I took over the reins.
Now she also got herself noticed, I think, on that day.
Right.
A week later, she was with Sammy Hagar.
Well, that's...
There you go.
That can happen like that.
Absolutely. She's a good friend. Former star from my show back in Connecticut as well. So I just love how these circles just kind of complete themselves with great musicians playing great music and doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're out there keeping it up. You know?
Yeah, keeping it real.
Yeah, keeping it, like I said, a tradition. It is a tradition. Southern rock.
Where would we be without it? I just can't tell you.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, if the Caldwell brothers were still living, I'd shake their hands.
Yeah.
They've given me an incredible education on how simple you can make something, but how effective you can carry a message through with it.
And music does take a message that you have, and it really resonates differently in individuals, and that's what makes it so special.
Absolutely. And a lot of this music carries a strong message.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
About real-life living.
No, you got that right.
You know, and that's what we're all out here doing is trying to go through real-life living.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You just want to make that connection and help people out to understand it. And with this band, we've got a record due in January for Sony, so it's a great honor to work on that as well. So we've got some songs to write, but we've got a lot of traveling to do this month and the next couple of months. So
yeah,
should be some good things come out of that.
I'm very excited for you that you get to be part of an album as well. That's just, you know, just another nice step.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, there's 5 records due for Sony. So the first one is January.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's the work to do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, you know what? You know how to work hard, so you'll be there with them for all 5.
It'd be great.
Yeah. Now, before this band, where I really got to know you was King Johnson.
Right.
Which I always, which I always claim was my high school nickname, but you know. So, and it's a great band. King Johnson is one of my favorite bands that I'm not sure if they still even could exist, but I don't think they do any longer, finally.
Oh, they absolutely exist.
They still do. Good.
Oh, yeah. We've got the next gig we're playing right on Halloween. We're playing Halloween, and we played maybe 2 months ago, and it was just, it was incredible. I mean, just when you think that you couldn't hear something new, something new pops out of the band. So, you know, people like Oliver Wood, he just never ceases to amaze me. He's I've worked with him on a stage for 10 years, and I've never heard him play the same thing twice.
Yeah.
Ever.
Amen.
I've never heard him repeat. I always call him through composed, which he really is. He's through composed when it comes to playing, and you know, it's just the way it works, and it's awe inspiring.
Well, King Johnson is just such a fun, upbeat, serious, you know, seriously good time band. They make the music that really makes me happy.
It's very New Orleans second line funk. You know, a lot of funk going on in that band.
Even some country funk.
Yeah.
And that, I love that.
There's no stop signs. That's the whole thing. A lot of times, if the song is feels like it needs to make a right turn at Albuquerque, then it does.
It sure does.
It does. You know, we never had any problem with it. And the band will turn on a dime, and it still does.
Yeah. And now, is that similar? Does Marshall Tucker do that in a live show as well?
Absolutely.
A lot of improv.
Yeah, it's like last night we were playing Can't You See, and the next thing you know, we're taking the highway. You know?
Oh, hell.
It was right in the middle of it. Doug called Take the Highway, and it sure made an interesting mesh, and then we ended up back with Can't You See. So, yeah, they're not afraid of that either. And I tell you, this band is becoming a real band. Everybody, you know, is on the same page, a lot like King Johnson, which just means it's like watching a team, you know, a great team.
Yeah, like the Red Sox. Oh, sorry.
They are doing well.
Sorry, doing well. Sorry.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we have a couple things in common as well, besides music, teaching. I know that you have dabbled a little bit in the teaching as well.
Absolutely.
Now, you teach music.
Yes.
To high school age kids?
All ages.
Kids of all ages, because that's what music is all about.
Oh, sure. Or any adults, anybody that wants to learn. You know, I taught privately for years and really learned a lot from it. You know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every bit of it.
Do you have a student or two that really stuck with you and, you know, someone that you feel very proud of as well?
Yeah, there's been a couple, and you know, and I can't call the names right now, but I'll run into them, and they'll say, well, Michael. There's one fellow, Michael. He was in college. I was happening to be playing in a college town, and he was going to school in Valdosta, in fact, Valdosta State. And he came up and was like, hey, I'm in college. I'm studying sax. I was just, you know, I was like, wow, that's amazing, you know, that he went on with that. So it's always great to hear things like that.
Yeah, nice to be somebody else's influence when it's for the right reasons, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, carry on the message, you know, and find a part of themselves to connect to the universe. You know, it's between here and there. It's all what it boils down to.
And it's what, you know, it's life is about choices and what you make of it.
That's absolutely right.
And musically, right. You know, Marshall Tucker, King Johnson, I really dig what the things that they make of it.
Yes, it's becoming real interesting. Like I said, the Marshall Tucker's becoming a real team, but you just look at the players on the team. It's a stacked deck. I
mean, bunch of studs, man.
Man, I mean, you know, here I am. I got my bunk is underneath one of my, you know, heroes, rock heroes of all time. It was B.B. Borden, you know, playing drums, who was the original drummer from Mother's Finest, which you're like, wow.
Yeah.
And he still lays it down now.
Yeah, I mean, you could reach up and give the guy a wedgie.
Oh, I know. The first time I had to apologize because I hit my head a couple of times in a bunk. I was like, golly, BB, I'm so sorry. I had no idea you were up there. He said, yeah, it sounded like you were struggling a little bit with that bunk.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough to get used to, I bet.
Well, once you get your head around it, you know, you're good. You know, the key to being out on the road like this is relaxing as much as you can and finding the rest that you need. Otherwise, you get broken down, you know.
Yeah, yeah, just like anything else. But, you know, when you're away from home, and, you know, I mean, you have your mates, you have your team and all that, but, you know, home is home.
That's exactly right.
And
that's exactly right.
The good thing I think about, well, I know King Johnson keeps home wherever they go. They keep that with them. Marshall Tucker, I picture it as well, that these guys can keep that home feeling wherever you guys might travel. You know, home is definitely on the mind.
There's no doubt about it. And that has a lot to do with my boss, Doug Gray. You know, he's the man. I love watching him do business. I love that man. He's just got it going. You know, he is the, he makes it feel like home.
I can only imagine on the road, you know, that as soon as you start feeling a little, not homesick necessarily, but longing for it, you know, if to have someone like that, thinking they can reel you in.
Sure.
Man, that's important.
Oh, it's very important. Well, that's why they've been in business almost 40 years.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it, you know, and it's just, it's a good feeling because this is home. This is a team, and Tucker, I mean, I've only been on the gig for a month, and it feels like home.
Yeah. You know? Brother Tucker.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
It absolutely does. And while I'm at it, I have to tell you, I have to thank you for spinning all the King Johnson songs and Skibo tunes. I have to thank you for all that. You know, that's amazing that you light into that and
I love
get
it.
Hold of it.
I love it. You know, I find what goes, I don't care who puts it out, as long as I, you know, it goes with the next one. I like to make little communities, you know, little neighborhoods of sounds that normally would never bump into one another on the street.
Right.
And King Johnson has so many tracks that you can change styles and switch roads and, you know, put your blinker on and go a whole different direction. And
oh,
that's really what Green Arrow Radio is all about, is Direction Unknown, free-formed radio program for open minds and thirsty ear holes. I got him. You got him. Yeah. So Skibo, you bring up Skibo Knight. You know, he's. I just got off the phone with him. He's very excited that I'm chatting with you. I just got off the phone with him a little bit today. You've done a lot of work with our friend Skibo.
Sure have.
And now some recent work that I'm expecting in a little while as well. Talk a little bit about the most recent work that you have laid down with Skibo.
Oh, with Skibo? Yeah, it's much like the same MO. He's got the drum tracks, and then, you know, we go in and play over the tracks. So the way it worked is Adam Mawerder, trombone player.
Wonderful trombone player.
Oh, unbelievable.
And another cool cat.
Yes, my brother. You know, he came to town, and we went to Muscadine Studios, which is just the in Macon, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just down the street, you know, and then there's Adam comes to town, and we go down, and we just launched into you know, these songs, and we never know what's going to happen. You never know when they're going to end because you're just hearing them for the first time. So it's all, you know, one pass stuff, and I play sax, keyboards, and so does Adam switches off. We switch off on the piano. He plays some piano some. We play some stuff together, and we play some things apart. But Adam does this rap on one tune, and he's the snack master.
Yes.
When we were out with King Johnson, he was the snack master, which, you know, you have to have one of those people in the van to test things to make sure okay before you buy them, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, when you stop at a 7-Eleven, you're not sure about that thing.
That's right.
So, but you ask Adam, and he was up on that to give you the snack master report. So he had a rap about the snack master on there, and he did the rap. It's really funny. I played some horn behind him, but then, you know, later on, Skibo brings his bass player. Now, this guy rolls in and plays over what we've already done, and just sounds like he was meant to be there, like he knew he was there the whole time.
So mm-hmm.
Really, really changed the dynamic of it. But I know we played at least six cuts on the record. I'm not sure how many records cuts are on the record. So it was all very interesting. There was some really outside stuff. We'd start really taking it on out there, you know, as far as we wanted to take it.
Oh, I'm so ready for that.
Yeah. But
now, do you yourself get in any wild screaming fits like you have on a couple other albums?
I mean singing. Oh, no, actually, I didn't sing on this record.
Yeah.
But I did get in a screaming fit on the horn for a second. I mean, just started just wailing away. I mean, just kind of in the Ornette Coleman style, you know, just reckless abandon, screaming, really just screaming with the saxophone. And then, of course, while I'm doing that, Adam takes that moment to play a Christmas song. Yeah,
that is so Adam.
Yeah, he just lights into it, and it's just so mellow. He just plays it so mellowly while I'm just like just raging, screaming as loud as the top of my lungs with the horn, you know. I didn't sing it on this particular record, and so that's where it's at. There's five or six tunes, and I'm not sure how many he's got left.
Yeah, well.
Maybe 10 tunes total. I'm not even sure what he's calling it.
No, I know. It's going to be a mystery to us all. He likes it that way sometimes.
He does.
Keep us in suspense. I'm just psyched that you all get. I'm psyched you all have gotten together again and doing one more thing. It's always such
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's a roll of the dice.
Yeah, and it's a fun game you're playing.
Yeah, it's always a roll of the dice, and I appreciate his doing that, of having an appreciation for rolling the dice. Not everybody appreciates rolling the dice.
No, they don't. No, they like status quo and things that they know. And no, I appreciate the roll of the dice as well.
Yeah, and what makes the roll of the dice beautiful is when it's just one, when you hear it one time, and then that's just the way you reacted to it at that time.
Like live music.
Right, it was a lot like Big Monkey Swing. It was the same way. It was very reactionary. It had really nothing to do with reality.
No, it did not.
It had nothing. It had everything to do with, at least for me on that particular record, I was able to concentrate on absolutely nothing. Which is the beauty of it, is which I could start just playing shape.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times on that record, I was more concerned with the shape my hands were making on the saxophone, which now it was really out there, but it was beautiful.
Wow.
Just to feel shapes instead of thinking it's musically.
Wow. How Montessori of you.
Montessori, is that?
Yeah, how Montessori of you.
Yeah, see, my son just started Montessori.
That's where I teach right now, in a Montessori thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a wonderful method.
You got it, baby.
Yeah.
You got it.
He's soaking it up. He just started kindergarten.
Oh, good man.
Yeah.
Right on.
2 weeks ago.
That's
there
odd. That's great.
Yeah, Montessori of Macon, which that's, of course, mom.
Mama Montessori.
Yeah.
Hey, before I let you go, speaking of mom, why don't we give a plug to the work that your wife's been doing down there?
Oh, my gosh, my wife, Lisa Love.
Lisa Love.
Yeah, Lisa Love Henderson. She's the director of the Georgia Music Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's really just done so much. I could sit here for another hour and not speak towards what she really knows. The gift she gives back to the music, to Georgia music, it's amazing. The knowledge she has of it, top to bottom. She's the perfect person for that position.
Jeez.
She really knows all the music.
Wow, why the heck am I talking to you?
Exactly, you need to speak to her.
I'm going to have to call her next time.
She still edits Georgia Music Magazine, which I don't know if you ever got hip to that, but it's a beautiful publication.
I remember you talking about it once before, or emailing me about it once before, yeah.
Right, she still sits at the masthead. She's not as connected with it as she was in the beginning, although she still edits it. It comes past her desk. She's very particular about who writes and what the subject matter is. But if anybody out there is ever interested in learning more about Georgia music, go to georgiamusicmag.com and get some of those old... The magazine's been out for almost 3 years now.
All right.
Or maybe 2 years, two and a half years. And it'll give you an incredible history from... every top to bottom.
Yeah.
When she started the magazine, I said, "Listen, honey, there's already magazines out there that cover, the Southern rock ilk, and things like that. If you're going to start this magazine, it's going to be top to bottom." So, and she did. She addresses the rap to the folk. I mean, it's all there.
That's right.
And
music.
It's very objective, and it's just really incredible stories in it. So, I recommend that magazine highly. But what she does down there, she has the Otis Redding exhibit she put in, which started last September. It's changing. In fact, it's due up to change this September with a revolving show that's coming through Rhythm and Roots. I can't remember exactly what's coming in, but that Otis Redding exhibit is awesome. If anybody's in Georgia, catch it before they pull it up. Because Zelma, Zelma still lives there. Zelma, yep. Redding, of mm-hmm. course. And she and Carla, Carla Redding, mm-hmm. Daughter, brought over incredible artifacts that hadn't been seen yet, and put it in the exhibit. And it's incredible to see some of the stuff that Otis did, and you start to get a perspective of just how young the guy was.
No, he was a pup.
Yeah, you really don't understand. A guy was 26.
Yeah.
And he had already formed so many businesses. I mean, he changed the dynamic for business. He brought it on and he figured it out. And then, he really passed before his biggest hits were ever out there.
Yeah.
Dock of the Bay, they put that out retrospectively.
He never saw that make it.
Absolutely. And people don't understand that. They think, oh, Otis Redding, that guy was... he was on the cusp of something huge.
No, he was huge since he started.
Right. I mean, it was huge, but he was on a something could have been so. I mean, I really wish that he was still around. I'd like to see what he would be doing right now.
Yeah, he, you know, a true innovator, always willing to go take a chance and go with the times. What, you know, take a risk when the risk is needed.
Exactly right. But he never thought about it because, see, that's the hub of soul.
That's right.
That's what soul is, really.
Feel it, do it.
It's non-thought. It's just being it. Just let it roll.
That's right. You know?
That's what soul. That's what I've learned. Least living and making.
Yep.
That's what I've learned about that. That's soul. It's non-thought. It's who you are, and you just let it out. And you throw it out there, and this, and of course, in making, there's still a lot of soul there. It's all tucked in the corners of the town. It's everywhere you go. You hear people singing in the alleyways. I mean, you see somebody get up and sing karaoke in Macon, you know, you're like, holy smoke, who is that guy?
Yeah.
Well, that woman is like amazing. You know, it's just amazing gift. And a lot of pickers down there too.
Yeah.
Which my brother Chris Hicks brought up. He brought that up, and he's absolutely right. As he and I both, we work together with Tucker, and he's of course living in Macon as well.
Yeah.
I digress. But back to my wife, Lisa Love. She is absolutely it. You know, she's beautiful.
Yeah, I thought I'd give a chance to, you know, talk about your better half, the one that keeps you going.
She sure does.
Yeah.
Especially at this time, keeps the home fire square because we're, you know, this is the busiest time of the year for us, really.
And, yeah.
And like August, I may be home 5 days, maybe. So it's really important to have a balance.
And, you know, the work that she's doing down there as well is just work to be proud of.
It really is. I'm very proud of her.
Yeah.
There's even more things coming down the pike that I could probably speak towards later that I won't now, but she's got some, you know, she's always got something cooking.
Well, we'll certainly keep the people, we'll push the people in that direction as well when they check out this conversation. King Johnson, of course, they know Marshall Tucker.
Right.
But we'll make sure that we push them toward your wife's direction if they are so inclined as well.
Please do.
Keep the soul soulful.
Right, man. And thanks again for spending all that stuff and keeping it alive.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thanks for putting out, you know, real music that makes me feel good.
All right.
Stuff that I love to share with others, you know, hoping to put smiles on faces.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Mr. D.
And now, when I do get down to Macon, maybe you'll take me bowling?
Yes.
Yeah?
You want to go bowling?
Yeah. I mean, bowling's important to you, I think.
It did send me to school.
That's right, man. That's right.
Yeah, not many people know that. It's really true. Actually.
Yeah, but I heard bowling was pretty important.
Yeah, I went to school on that bowling scholarship, which sounds like a joke, but it's actually the truth.
Yeah, so hey, you know, little balls or big balls?
Oh, you got to have the heavy ball.
Damn right.
You knock more pins down with a heavy ball.
That's the bigger the better.
That's right, the bigger the better.
Bigger the better. All right, I want to thank you in so many ways for what you do, but hey. You go make some good music in Minnesota tonight. Maybe we'll catch you in Madison down the road with Marshall Tucker, and even more intriguing for me would be King Johnson up here.
It would be awesome, man.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Sometime. We'll certainly try to do it sometime.
All right, my brother. Until the next time, be well.
Okay, buddy. You take care of yourself.
Peace.
All right, bye now.
Bye now.